And this is MSONewsSports.com. And we are back right now on Connections. Thank you for being with us here, and thank you to Dave Krimsky. Appreciate that. Talking right now with Bill Kirk, the Eagle Eye on the Merrimack Valley. Of course, Lawrence Eagle Tribune reporter Bill Kirk. It's been, I don't know, quite a while, Bill. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. You know, just at home, working from home. Just trying to, you know, keep my head down here with this coronavirus flying all over the place. You know, that sort of seems to be the big story these days.
Well, that's all we've been talking about. And I know what's interesting, we're working from home. I'm just looking at AAA right now. And AAA Northeast, April 13 survey of prices in Massachusetts, self-serve, regular, unleaded, $1.94 a gallon. And so it's like...
That's the average.
Yeah, $1.94 a gallon. And, of course, we can't go out. So, you know.
I know, yeah, exactly. You're not... But yeah, that's the cruel irony of that, that statistic right there.
Oh, man.
We can't go anywhere. I mean, it's good for... I imagine it's good for the truckers, you know, the long haul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All the stuff around the country right now. God bless them, because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have food in the grocery stores and you know, convenience stores, which are, you know, are the lifeline really for everybody right now.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a new look at society, the stratas of society when this is all over. Bill, I want to start. I want to start with an article you wrote, because I just read something in Middleton. I read from the Tri-Town Transcript that they're ramping up fines to be $1,000 if you're out of compliance with wearing, you know, face coverings and so on. And you wrote a story about in Lawrence, $300 fines. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what the mayor's thinking over there.
Yeah, well, the mayor and his administration have been pretty aggressive on this thing, probably because the numbers in Lawrence are so high. I'm not sure. They're getting close to 1,000 cases in Lawrence. I mean, as you might imagine, it's a pretty congested city. You know, it's like the problem they had in New York City where, you know, everybody's sort of jammed in together. But what he's done is there's businesses that they call essential businesses, and these are, you know, convenience stores, grocery stores, any place that, you know, any place that's open, I guess, right now. And what the mayor was concerned about was that people were getting too, you know, were not going along with the 6-foot distance rule. And I don't know if you've been out, but I went to 7-Eleven recently, and they have X's on the floor where you have to keep, you know, 6 feet behind the person in front of you. They've done the same at Shaw's, and they've done something similar at Market Basket. In that case, they put a line. So when you're standing in line, you're always 6 feet away from the person in front of you. So what he's saying is that if these businesses don't, you know, the essential businesses don't comply with this, he's going to have inspectors going around doing spot checks and fighting these businesses, you know, to implement these guidelines or rules or whatever they are. I mean, there's a lot of terminology being thrown around by the state and local government as to what's a directive versus a guideline versus a suggestion. I think, you know, in the end, they're just trying to keep everybody to stay as far apart as possible from each other. So that's something they've done in Lawrence. In Methuen, I'm actually working on a story right now. The mayor there, and with the support of the city council, it's a story that's going to be in tomorrow's paper or be online later today, probably. They've implemented the same kind of rules, but for city parks. And city parks are a little tougher, you know, obviously, because you're outside. And guess what they found was the kids were playing, or people were playing soccer or softball or some, you know, some sort of organized, semi-organized game, and they weren't paying attention to the distancing rules. So they implemented fines for that. So if the police are driving around and they see, you know, a bunch of people playing softball or touch footballers, they can potentially, they'll get a warning first, and then potentially they could be fined for not complying with that distance rule. But at the same time, you can go out walking or running as long as you, you know. I mean, that's the other thing that's sort of funny about all these rules is, let's say you're, you know, a married couple and you, you know, you live together and you, you're always close to each other. So those rules obviously don't apply. So if you're walking around on the track and you're right next to each other, you obviously, you're not violating the social distancing rule, although technically you are, but I don't think you're going to get fined for that.
So, I hope not.
These are some of the questions that come up.
Oh, yeah. You know, an article I see, Bill, that you wrote, concerned nurses in the Methuen-Lawrence area, and this, what do they call it, tracking? I forget what it's called, but where you have to backtrack and see who contacted whom and how valuable some of the resources are among nurses and so on.
Right. That's a big. That's going to become an even bigger thing coming up, and if they want to go back, if they want to bring, you know, reopen the economy, is tracking and tracing. So you want to obviously find out who has the disease and tell them, you know, they have to stay home till they get better, or you know, go to a doctor, or the other thing is. So a lot of people, I think you're going to find, have the disease. But are asymptomatic. So that's going to become, you know, as the testing ramps up. So it's all, everything kind of seems to work together. So the testing ramps up, and more people are seen to have the disease or not. So let's say, you know, you find somebody has the disease but doesn't show any symptoms. Well, you got to, in that case, you say, okay, you have to quarantine or self-quarantine or isolate. And then who were you in contact with recently? Well, then, so that's where these local nurses come into action, you know, city nurses, school nurses, and Lawrence's case, so you're using health inspectors and even some of the building inspectors and electrical inspectors, and everybody's getting on the phone and calling around to see who has contact, and if you've had contact with somebody with coronavirus, then you have to quarantine for 14 days, and that's what they're telling people. Now they're not tracking those people so much as they're tracking the people that actually have the disease, because I think what they're doing is they have to call pretty much every day. They get a call from a nurse. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What's your temperature? You know, are you staying isolated from everybody in your household and your family? And you know, these are obviously, that's going to be a really important way of containing. It is a really important way of containing this virus.
You know, Bill, things change not only from day to day, but sometimes from hour to hour. And you're in your command center, I'm sure, in your studio and your workplace. But in talking with the mayor and people in government, it must be a continuous situation. And I wonder what the attitude is among the people you've been talking with, Bill. You know, the people you have interviewed, how are they dealing with this? And what's the attitude? I know that in talking with the Salem mayor yesterday, she was very, I don't want to say upbeat, but very positive in how people are dealing with this across the spectrum.
Yeah, I think that's the nature of being, you know, an elected official. You have to try to exude some level of of optimism and positivity. Right? And I get that from you know, a lot of the mayors. They try to be positive. At the same time, it's like you said, it's a constantly changing thing. It's like a wave. You know, the wave comes in and the wave goes out and it comes back in again, and it's different. I mean, it's just this constant. Barrage of information and, you know, oftentimes bad news. You know, you get these nursing homes where people are dying, I mean, in large numbers. And every community has nursing homes, so, especially the bigger cities. So, you know, and these are all people that you know, if you're a Methuen resident, you know, you have relatives. Senior care homes and centers, and so it's very personal. I mean, these aren't just statistics; these are actual people. And I think that probably, as much as anything, it's got to be hard on an elected official. You know, hearing from their constituents, what can I do? What can I do? You know, my grandmother or my great grandmother is in such and such a place. How do I get her out of there? You know, what do I? You know. Can I get her out of there? I mean, and if she gets sick, I can't visit her, they won't let me. I think that's got to weigh on elected officials. But you know what? At the same time, I think they're working so hard. These guys, these folks, that they're working so hard and so fast, and stuff is coming at them so quickly that they almost don't have time to, you know, sit back and take a breath. I think there's just so much going on. And a big part of it I see is, how do you continue having you know, a legislative government? I mean, you know, we have a city council, you know, we have a mayor, you know, and we have all the departments. Now, all of them are have to stay away from each other. So how do you govern in that kind of an environment? And I think that's a big issue that a lot of cities and towns are dealing with. And they're, you know, they have Zoom, which is that meeting application, but that prevents the public input. So you don't have the same kind of, it's not the same kind of interaction with the public that you might have. So if you have a big issue and you want the public to be able to comment on it, how do you do that? Well, right now, I don't think anybody has really figured that out. There isn't really a way to do that. So they're doing, you know, the city councilors have these Zoom meetings. I guess there's a way, in the field, they figured out a way, and I'll be doing a story on this later this week. In the field, they figured out a way to do it so that you can actually sign up and talk at a meeting, but it's not the same. It's really a lot different than it used to be. It's not nearly as, you know, it's not nearly as much of a democracy. You know, it's like the same thing with North Andover, your town meetings. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be able to have a town meeting, and a town meeting is the cornerstone of these town governments. I mean, Danvers has a town meeting. Middleton, Topsfield, Boxford—they all have town meetings. I mean, how do you? I mean, that's got to be. It's going to have some kind of a huge impact on these towns, because I don't see how they're going to get their budgets passed. I don't see how they're going to get their school. You know, the school budgets are critical. You know, moving forward, and that's a whole other thing. What are schools going to do going forward? I mean, if they cancel for the rest of the year, how do you give credit for a half of your? I mean, do you have to start all over again with in the fall? You know what I mean? You know, there's just a whole lot of questions.
Well, these are all questions that you're asking, and you're going to get answers to, I'm sure, over the next X number of months.
Yeah.
And it may go a lot longer than that, but those are all valid. And everybody's sitting back to some extent waiting, wanting to know the answer to that. But in the short term, you know, people are just looking, okay, are the numbers better today than they were yesterday? And, you know, it's a continuum that it's still on the way up, obviously. Bill, is there anything else that you'd like to mention? And then before you go, I want you to tease again what you've got coming up in the paper.
Well, I think we talked about this last time, that it's an international, national, state, and local story. And the only way you're going to find out what's really going on in your local community, and that's where, you know, the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and that's where you find out the local impact of this international. I ask people to get your local paper, find out what's going on, go online, subscribe online. When people subscribe online, they get a lot more information than just, you know, clicking occasionally on the website. And just as far as, you know, going forward, I mean, we're going to have, you know, the Eagle Tribune is filled with stories about the local impact of the coronavirus, as is, you know, the Gloucester Times, as is the Salem News and Newburyport Daily News. Those are all our papers, obviously. So everybody's, you know, the push is on to get that information out there for people.
Well, we lean very heavily on those, Bill, and you're right. I don't think social media, I don't think that what we do, I know that we can't cover this stuff the way that you guys do in detail, and I highly, highly recommend that people do that. If you can't get the paper in print, go online and check it out. All the articles are there. And, yeah, if you don't have a subscription, by all means, do so. And in the meantime, Bill, you know, be safe, and we'll check in. We'll do this again maybe in a week or so.
That sounds great.
All right, Bill, be safe, and thank you so much.